but it got blown. Now there's WAGs, transport and war WAGs. Kind of rough.
Trains?
Sure. I often get trains of WAGs rolling together. Safer that way. Hold off the muties.
No. I mean trains like Amtrak on rails.
Huh?
Nothing. I guess there aren't any. Well, how about planes? Oh, stupid. If there's no trains and there aren't many cars, there sure as little green apples aren't going to be any airplanes.
Wrong. I've never seen any flying WAGs, but the trader saw one once. Out east, he said.
Flying?
Crashing. That's what Trader said. Got hauled out of some old shed, already gassed up. Baron's oldest son said he'd try it. Up, and down again. Body finished in one field, head in another. Never found the legs, the way I recall it.
Though the land had looked fairly even from high above, it was actually seamed with innumerable narrow ravines and dry riverbeds. Doc surmised that this was all a result of the unimaginably catastrophic forces that had shifted the land 100 years earlier. Since the old Golden State had always been a place of earthquakes and landslides, it wasn't surprising to see the flat desert ripped and patched. Christie's feeling that there might be a vill on the far side made them cautious about approaching carelessly. Also, there were sinister tracks in the soft red dust.
Sidewinder.
Jack pointed to an odd swirling pattern in the sand. There were also other peculiar marks, as though large WAG tires had been rolled ceaselessly around. The light breeze through the shoulder-high scrub produced a constant dry rustling that would cover the approach of any creature. Ryan felt the short hairs raising on his nape.
Bad place.
I got that feeling too, Jack. Best we get across it as fast as we can.
Not easy with the Freezy in tow. The way he looks, a half mile will put him down and out.
We could go back, lover.
Yeah, but nobody ever gets anywhere by going back, do they? Let's go on.
Once they had plunged into the sagebrush, dotted with elegant saguaros, it became difficult to see more than 10 paces ahead. The switchbacking terrain was exhausting, even for the hardier members of the group. For Rick Ginsburg, the effect was devastating. After less than 20 minutes, he collapsed, eyes rolling up into their sockets, a thin froth dribbling from his cracked lips.
Cruise up Mulholland after dark and just watch the lights.
The other six gathered around him. Lori dropped to her knees, breathing hard, wiping dusty sweat from her forehead, brushing away her tangled hair. Doc also knelt down.
Egad, this heat quite debilitates one, does it not? I fear that our frozen comrade is not quite up to it. Should we not return to the redoubt and jump elsewhere?
I'll give him some water.
Ryan looked around. They were in a shallow, saucer-shaped depression, but ahead of them the land seemed to be rising.
Jack?
Ryan?
Go up and see if you can get high enough to check how far to the edge of this desert.
The boy returned in less than 5 minutes, his white hair tinted pink with the fine sand. He jumped down the last bit of the slope.
Yeah, not far.
An hour? Two?
Should be three, with the Freezy. 10 hours, maybe more.
Rick was, once more, asleep.
Nobody said it'd be easy. Man, sick, tired, been lying with a dark mind for 100 years. What'd you expect, lover? Gotta be slow with him.
I know it.
Oddly, it was Doc who first heard the distant sound. He stood up, putting his hand to his ear, listening hard. Apart from the dozing Freezy, the others all looked curiously at the old man.
What is it?
Ryan's ears were filled by the noise of the wind hissing through the scrub.
For a moment, I thought I could hear the sound of... But that is midsummer madness. The folly of an old fool, they always say, you know.
Ryan was about to relax again, deciding it was one of Doc's fantasies, when he heard it too. When all of them heard it. A distant, regular humming noise, like an errant wasp buzzing across the desert, coming from where Christie claimed there might be a vill.
Mighty big insect.
JB cradled his new blaster and looked anxiously up at the cloud-speckled sky. Rick opened his eyes and gazed blankly upward, blinking through the pebbled glasses.
What's it? It's an airplane. By God, but it's...
Everyone down!
Ryan dove beneath a stunted clump of ocotillo. Christie landed at his side, with JB beyond her. Ryan could see that the others were also taking cover. He peered up through the sparse protection of the brush and saw it. The Freezy had been right. It was a plane. two wings on each side, with circles of red, white, and blue painted on them, a stubby body with twin cockpits. It was about 100 feet above the ground, swaying from side to side, the racket now quite deafening to the people below it. It had a single revolving propeller set on the point of its nose. Blue smoke coughed from the engine. Ryan could make out only one flyer, his round, helmeted face hidden behind an enormous pair of glinting goggles. As far as he could make out, the flying machine carried no blasters. It dipped and swooped overhead, carrying on toward the lower slopes of the mountain. Jack started to get up, then ducked down again.
It's coming back!
It passed about 200 yards to the south of them, again apparently not noticing them. Finally, the plane vanished away across the desert in the direction it had originally come from. As the sound faded, everyone stood and dusted themselves off.
I've seen pics of old planes in vids, but not one like that. That looked real old.
Bless my soul. That was a Sopwith, or I miss my guess. I studied the First World War during my imprisonment by the Cerberus dogs. Yes, indeed. A trusty biplane. A Sopwith. Such a coincidence after we'd been talking about if there were any planes left in the Deathlands.
Rick stood up, looking shaken.
What kind of world is this? It's a crazed mix of the past, my present, and your future. It's all bloody madness.
Yeah, Rick, it is.
It was now obvious that there must be a ville beyond the arid wasteland, so they pushed on at top speed, taking turns helping Rick. Each dusty arroyo was just like the previous one and the next one. Small clusters of cacti with steely thorns made walking difficult. Despite Jack's estimate of how far away the edge of the desert was, the hours drifted by, and it didn't seem to get much closer.
Looks like a trail here.
Hold up, Laurie.
Ryan joined her at the head of the pack and took the lay of the land. They were in a broader-sided valley, and the bottom did seem to be trampled flatter. He knelt and examined the earth closely, seeing marks of some kind of wags. JB and Jack knelt beside him.
Two-wheel wags. Look at the pattern, not four-wheelers.
Watch your step. Good place for an ambush.
Can we rest?
Rick's neat jacket and pants had been torn by the thorns of the innumerable cacti and covered in a pattern of orange dust. Blood dappled the man's hands where he'd fallen, and his face beneath the mask of dirt was pale and lined. He seemed to have aged 10 years in the past 24 hours, and Ryan yet again pondered their wisdom in reviving him. Everyone looked at Ryan, who shook his head.
No, gotta keep moving. This place has taken us the better part of a damn day already. Sun's getting low. Don't want to get caught out by night. By the signs, we're not far off where this ville might be. We'll keep going on.
Rick shrugged wearily.
For this, I slept 100 years. Mama was right. I should have stayed home and become a doctor. Very well. Lay on my trusty Thane of Carter. And cursed be him that first shall cry.
God damn it! Laurie!
Ryan burst through the narrowing rocks around the bend in the trail. He faltered as his eye took in the horrific scene.
Holy shit!
A diamondback rattlesnake lay coiled in the desert sand, its layered rattle vibrating furiously. The reptile's forked tongue flicked in and out of its mouth,